For the last 2 years, we've been involved in a project which dealt with multiple description coding of speech signals. What is multiple description coding? Let me start with an example. Let's talk about the public switched telephone network, as we all know. What is a very important property of this network is reliability. It has to be reliable all the time, but unfortunately the network actually is not reliable all the time. So the question is, how can we deal with transmission in outages? So think about transmission devices which don't work and whatever. How can we deal with this situation? This is more of a historical review. It's not the current state of the art technology, just to give you an idea of what we're talking about. Simple solution for transmission link outages would be just provide a standby transmission link, and as soon as the one link fails, switch it off and use the other one. It's a simple solution. It works. It's been done. But the problem is, well, most of the time, or I'd say all the time, one link is actually wasted because it's just waiting to be used. Well, that's a solution, but in the 1970s and 1980s, in Bell Laboratories, someone had a clever idea. And his idea is the following. Why don't we split the signal that we would like to transmit in two parts, and we transmit the one part, or the first link, and the other part, or the second link. And if we receive these two descriptions at the receiving side, we can decode the signal with full quality. But if one of these descriptions is lost, we can still decode it, albeit with a not so good, not perfect quality, but we still have a signal. There's no frame lost. That's the basic idea of multiple description coding. One possible implementation is shown here, which was developed at the Bell Laboratories by Ernest Jane in 1981. And his idea was usually speech signals, to transmit speech, it is sampled at a sampling rate of 8 kilohertz. The bandwidth of the signal is bandwidthed to 3.2 kilohertz. That's the usual way. For example, the ISDN transmits speech this way. And his idea was, well, let's sample the speech with a slightly higher sampling rate of 12 kilohertz, so that we can subsample it by dividing the signals by odd and even separation. So the first sample goes in one signal, the second sample goes in another, and so on. This is possible. We would expect some aliasing effects, but this is possible because of the band-limited nature of the speech signal. So, the basic idea is that these separated signals are encoded separately using differential PCM coding. I don't know if you know what that means, but I won't go in too much details right here, but the basic idea is that if both of these channels are working and both descriptions see inside. We can decode them and interleave the samples again so that the original signal is reconstructed perfectly. But if only one of the channels is working, we can do an interpolation and we see a coarser representation of the signal. That's the basic idea of multiple description coding. And what is an advantage in comparison to the standard bi-transmission link is that that we can transmit signal with a lower bit rate in the two channels, which means we can use occasionally by other signals. That's the basic idea. But actually, the public switch telephone network is not the best application for multiple switch coding. So let's talk about internet telephony. What's the difference? We're not talking about a circuit switch network, the public switch, PSTN, I just mentioned, but we're talking about a packet switched network. That means that each individual packet is transmitted in its own way. There's no circuit which is switched for the duration of the communication, but every and each packet is routed individually. As we all know, on the internet, packets are lost, they are delayed, and they can even be duplicated. So, how can we deal with this situation? In real-time applications, as communication on the internet, a retransmission of a packet which has been lost is not feasible because we cannot wait until it's actually transmitted. We have to deal with the situation how it is. Which means if there is no packet, we can try to conceal this loss in some way. And there are actually ways to do such a concealing, but this is only feasible within limits. So if there are too many losses, you can't decode the signal and you can't extrapolate the signal from former samples, for example. So a good way to deal with this situation is actually multiple description coding, which means for every segment of the speech signal, we do not send a single packet, but we send several packets over the internet, and each packet contains a description of the speech form. I'll switch back to the first slide for a moment, just to define some terms in the context of multiple description coding. What you see on the top right is the so-called side decoder, and the combination of both GTCM decoders and the odd-even interleaving is called full rate decoder or also the central decoder. And the problem with multiple description coding is there's always an optimization problem. You have to choose if you optimize your side decoders, for example, for quality or for lower bit rate. That's the subject of rate distortion theory. I'm not going into details right here. But let me explain the basic idea of our project was. The problem with multiple description coding is more than two descriptions actually sent is that the receiver of L descriptions consists of 2 to the power of L minus 1 decoders. This is quite a lot if you have to design these side decoders explicitly. A possible solution for this problem is we use a hierarchical or something layered speech coder, which consists of a base layer and another layer on top of this base layer. And if you receive the base layer, there is a coarse representation of the signal, and the more layers you receive, the better the quality. And this is possible by adding some redundancy to the code, which means which can be done in terms of forward error approach. That's one possible solution. On the right, you see how a for description code can be constructed. What you see, the numbered fields are the code symbols of the several of the different layers. And as you can see, there are a different amount of forward error creation is added to the different layers, which means that the base layer, which is the number one, is most error correction is added, which is most redundancy is added, and the highest layer, which is number four here, has actually no redundancy added, which means the fourth layer is only decodable if all of the descriptions are received. So the idea is in this matrix, the rows make the layers, and the columns of this matrix are actually the descriptions which are sent over the network. I don't know if I made myself clear, but we can talk about lineup maybe. In our project, we implemented two different codecs. The first one is actually easily done. This is a simple PCM codec, which is a layered codec by nature, which means if you receive, for example, one bit, it's quite a coarse representation of the signal, but it's still a signal. The more bits you receive, the finer the resolution will be. The other codec that we implemented is a so-called cell codec, which is based on linear prediction. If you know what that means, good. If not, I won't go into the details here. You can ask me later. Interesting. So, what I'm mainly talking about here is actually a demonstration software which we developed in the course of this project. And this demonstration software was developed in order to demonstrate the benefits of the different coding schemes. So we coded the speech data, and we simulated packet losses. And then we can compare how the different coding schemes determine the quality of the signal. So to give you an idea of the architecture of this software, I'll show you an overview, and I hope you can actually see this structure. On the left, that's the sending side, on the right, the receiving side, in the middle, it's the very unknown internet. Actually, this is why I'm talking here, this is based on Linux volume, as you can see. We want to provide different kind of signals. In our case, different languages, so German, English, Korean, whatever. This is what Ekasan is for, here. There are three different loops in this case, played by Ekasan and connected to JetBrains. The most important part of this software architecture is the server on the left side, which listens for requests on a TCP port. And if a stream is requested, it starts another process. Every square box is a separate process in this figure. So it starts a sender process. This connects by a jack to one of the loops. It encodes the data and sends it over the internet to the client by which this stream was requested. The server is a multi-threaded application, which means that several clients can connect to the server at the same time. On the client side again, the stream is received, decoded, there are frame losses simulated, or packet losses simulated, and there's always one active stream which is actually played out. I'll go into details. Let me first talk about the server. As I just said, the server waits for incoming requests by TCP port, which is not interesting. Each client on startup connects to the server. If it's not possible, the client will start. To communicate with the server, we develop a simple plain text protocol, consisting of simple commands, and actually there are only four known commands. Sources, port, open, and close. Sources is needed so that the server can tell the client which loops are available. So on startup, every client asks for the available sources. The server responds with OK message, and additionally provides a list of available loops. Then there is the port command. This is a special command which I had introduced because with problems with firewall settings, and because the actual data is transmitted over UDP, and if it's sitting on a firewall and request UDP stream, the firewall will not let it through. But if you ask the server from which port the UDP data will be sent, and you send an initial UDP packet to the server, many firewalls will think that it's a response to this initial packet led through the system known as UDP hole punching. The most important command actually is the open command, which requests the stream with a certain set of parameters. On if this command is successful, the server responds with an OK message and an additional process ID. And if the client wants to stop a stream, it sends process ID back to whether it was closed command, and the server can stop the process. That's the main idea. And as I just said, the transport protocol uses actually UDP. And there's also the RTP protocol, which we saw about, but the only feature that we needed in addition to UDP was the sequence number, so we decided we just went for UDP and put in the sequence number. Next, let me show you how the client looks like. The client is developed using Qt, so it's running on Linux as well as on Windows. And on the top, you can see that there are quite a few parameters which can be tuned, which means if you want to request a certain coding scheme, you change the parameters, you take add screen, and at this, that moment, a open request command is sent to the server, and if all is well, and in success, the server responds with a OK message and starts sending the data from this specific UDP call. There's always, as I said, always one active stream. The active stream is one you can listen to, and the history of which is depicted in the area on the right side. Below the parameter sets, you see there is a slider which controls the loss rate, the simulated loss rate. The losses that we simulate are independent, which means there is no heuristics. So, and on the right, on the diagram on the right, you see two curves. The one depicts the actual receive. Pardon?
Could you speak up a bit?
Oh, yes, sorry. In the diagram on the right, there are two curves. The first is depicting the actual received bit rate, and the second one are residual packet losses, which means the blue curve depicts those frames for which none of the descriptions has been received. Okay. On the bottom, there's a closed stream button which you press to close the stream. And you can control the amount of time which is presented in the diagram. But I can show you later. So there were certain problems we had to deal with in the course of the development. First one of those was the UDP hole punching problem I just mentioned. But another problem, which is well known in the field of IP telephony, is jitter. As I said, packets often are delayed or even duplicated, and a receiver of a voice over IP telephone has to deal with the situation. Solution is this so-called jitter buffer. The jitter buffer collects all packets in a separate program thread and delivers them in order. That's actually relatively simple. In our case, because we talking about multiple description coding, we deliver those descriptions we actually receive for a certain frame. There's a little drawback, which is an additional delay, but this is the only way to deal with it. Next problem that we had to deal with is the so-called clock skew. On the sending side, there is a clock driving the process which encodes the data. Think about the quartz, the crystal, or a solid card. On the receiving side, there is another clock. And those two clocks normally are not synchronous, which means, just imagine the server, well, we're talking about 8 kilohertz here. Imagine the server actually sends with 8,000 and 10,000. And I wrote down here with typical clocks, this skew can amount to up to plus or minus 0.5%, which means 8,000 kilohertz, well, 8,004 cycles per second. Actually, and on the other side, maybe 7,969. As a result, the jitter buffer will eventually either overflow or run empty. To deal with this situation, we apply the load power, sorry, We watched the state of the jitter buffer and we adapted the play out watching the state of the jitter buffer. If it tends to run empty, we slow down the play out, which means if we have to play out 100 samples, we actually take 95 and interpolate them, so it's 100. If the jitter buffer, it still has the rest of the samples. This is a simple solution for this problem. Well, yes, I mean, the third problem I already mentioned was a UDP rule function that removes the main thing. So, that was basically my talk. I would like to thank you for your attention, and I'd like to give a short demonstration of this whole architecture. For demonstration purposes, and since you know the problems with the wireless access to the internet or to the LAN right here, the server and the client side will both run on the same computer. So I won't do load the internet right now, but I'll show the server and the client side on the same computer, just for demonstration purposes. So, what, okay. So what happened? The server waited for a request. The client started up, connected to the server, asked for the available sources, which are shown in the drop-down box on the left side, right here. So this American, English, Chinese, German, Korean right now. I don't know which you prefer.
Chinese.
No problem. Now I can choose the coding scheme that I would like to test. The simplest coding scheme is a PCM, single description PCM, which means only ALO coding if someone's interested. So, I just request a stream. And as you can hear, we don't hear anything. When do I just have all your queries. This is a JAG application. I have to connect to ports, right? So, is Rui still here? No, he's not, so I can use patch it instead of QJAG control. Okay. So here you can see the situation. It's echo sound. Can you see? This one, that's echo sound, playing loops. And this one, this is my demo application. Now,
I would just happen to die with our boots on. Pizzerias are convenient for a quick lunch.
If people were more generous,
okay,
there would be no
Chinese
welfare.
I can address another screen so that you can hear Chinese just as well. So,
this does not allow a mystery.
As you can see, the echo sound playing a loop, sending the data to a sender process, which is the data is transmitted over the internet, this is No kidding, probably. The receiving side is a demo, and the decoding payer is not paid out. Now, I'm going to, okay, so what happens if we lose frames? Let's see.
Your pink foam as an insulator is also coming in for a good deal of attention.
Let me start with another example. These are four descriptions. You have two good. I show you one description. Okay, this is hard. Chinese, you said, right? Okay. But well, the thing is we don't understand it, so we don't recognize it. The last is just good. I think I'll go for, with American English first.
But what we have endeavored to maintain.
This is actually
European foam.
Exactly the same quality as we heard just before. But the difference
will
be seen if we simulate losses.
For a quick lunch.
If people were more generous, there would be no need for welfare. You just how many it was coincided with the breakdown of Jesus' part.
Some ads need to carry an army ranking that.
This does not allow the mystery to invade us.
It is not pleasant or easy position, but one we have endeavored to maintain.
You're a big phone man.
57% of all frames are lost right now.
We always have a good
time. As you can see, the curve depicting the actual received bit rate is the exact reverse version of the residual packet loss. This is because this is a single description code stream. So now let's see what happens if we add some more description streams. As you can see, there's still 57% of all frames lost right now, but the residual packet loss version falls down or is lower compared to the first case. We can still compare it.
European foam as an insulator is also coming in for a good deal of attention.
Can you just
we always have to drive to Houston. Pizzerias are convenient for a quick lunch.
If people were more generous, there would be no need for welfare. Each autonomous income loss coincided with the breakdown of eating system part.
Some men need to carry an hourly rate.
Right now, there are close to 80% of all frames lost. Still, the signal is decodable and somehow. Well, it's hard. Let's compare it to the single description.
There will be no need for welfare. Just for the income loss
slightly tonal effect in the background is caused by the loss concealment algorithm, which is also incorporated in this proposal. Anyway, there's a second codec, PCM, which is what's very interesting are the bit rates, which are actually generated. You can see single description PCM codec yields a bit rate of 64 kilobit per second. The multi description scheme adds significantly to the bit rate. As you can see, the gross bit rate jumps up to 196 kilobits for four descriptions. This is expensive. I mean, you could even ask, why don't you send it two times or even three times? This is an argument, but actually, it's possible to trade off bit rate savings against quality. This is what the this parameter is good for. If I set this parameter from 1 to 2, it means that for the decoding of the coarse-based layer, we have to receive at least two descriptions and one description. Which means if less than two descriptions are received, the frame is still lost. But the thing is, the big drain jumps down to 107 kilometers per second compared to 196. Okay. Well, this is an amazing demonstration. Well, for me, that's it. If you're not interested in any more examples, I would gladly have to answer your questions if there are any questions.
So, are there any questions? Yep.
You talked a lot about these description of the speech signals. Could you elaborate a bit on that? What does descriptions consist of?
Basic idea of sending more than one description is we divide the signal into two or even more descriptions, and we send them separately on separate channels over the network or over the channel. And the main point is that in one description, there is a coarse representation of the signal contained, and receiving one description is enough to decode the frame of the signal. But the quality of this frame will be not as good as if you receive all of these descriptions.
Okay, I see. So this is a somehow subsampled version of this frame, or is it?
It depends on the coding scheme. Subsampling is one possible way to achieve a simple multi-description coding scheme. And in our case, we need a layered speech codec. PCM for layered speech codec means there are several layers, which means a base layer, for example. Would you like to comment on this?
As far as I understand it, it's open to different codecs. It's free to design whatever you want.
It is, as long as this codec is a hierarchical codec. This is all that's needed in this case.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? And I think that's it. Thank you very much, Evan. And about continuing, normally we would have a